Episode 73.
You know, just being the host shop, that's when they would give a lot of the cars away, and see the tears on people's face when they get their keys, where they were otherwise taking a bus back and forth, taking, I mean, you think about doctor's appointments, after school activities for their kids. There's so many things, and it literally is a full day of, you know, just to go to the doctor. It takes them an entire day.
Welcome to an audio-only rebroadcast of a face-to-face video podcast. Face-to-face is a single-topic discussion with multiple guests in a video setting. Find the video replay to all face-to-face discussions on the face-to-face page on the Remarkable Results website. Welcome, aftermarketers. Carm Capriato here with episode 73. I want to thank you so much for being here, where you'll find strong content and fresh ideas for your inspiration and edification. The debut of this episode is during the holiday season in 2015. Many aftermarket service professionals have year-long charitable or philanthropic initiatives, and at this time of year, this episode may have just a tad more impact on your soul. In this episode, you'll be able to match your efforts with these three shop owner guests or learn something new about what certain charitable best practices are. Here's what's in store: how their charitable efforts provide hope for so many tough situations, that you must lead with your heart, and that giving for these guys is what stands out at the end of the day, and that gives them the most reward, and there's so much more. There's a lot of community support by service professional entrepreneurs in this great industry, and I congratulate and commend you for all your efforts. This face-to-face audio podcast has a sister video cast. You can watch the live recording of this episode on the RemarkableResults.biz website. Catch the bios of my guests on the show notes page. Here we go with Joe Valland, Jeff Matt, and Mike Davidson. Welcome, everyone, to a face-to-face video podcast. My name is Carm Capriato, and I have a distinguished panel of guests, and we're here to talk about charitable initiatives in the automotive aftermarket. A couple of things I came across as I was doing some research on this is that in Baltimore, there's 81,000 low-income households that don't have a car. There's 133,550 low-income houses without cars in Washington, D.C. So there was this initiative to provide vehicles, 4,700 vehicles awarded to low-income families in that group. It affected 16,450 lives. 75% of the recipients got better jobs and or increased earnings because they had wheels. And 100% took children out to sports and after-school activities, which really, I'm sure, is going to make them blossom. Because I remember, even though the world was different way back then, we were always outside doing things, and we turned out okay. It's great to have you here. I want to start the conversation, and this is free-flowing. Please just have a blast with this. Our objective, as people watch this live and they watch the replay of this, we want them to pull ideas about either improving what they're currently doing or even, in many cases, starting their own. So what drives each of you to go above and beyond certain expectations within your community?
Carm, that's a great question. I think really what it boils down to me is, you know, we want to be a blessing to people. We desire to build up and encourage, come alongside them during their time of trial, and work with them and help them out through that time. I think it just boils down to, you know, a love of people.
Excellent.
Yeah, I think he hit the nail on the head as far as I'm concerned as well. It's something that is just really important to the individual shop owner. And it's one thing just to get into business and do what you do, but to kind of have a heart and a passion for others is key, I guess. And there's obviously a lot of need out there with people, and you can really have a great impact on families. You know, for us, not really having a lot of dollars, you know, or skin in the game, you know, we can make a big impact.
And what do you mean by that?
Well, the cost for us to maybe do a significant repair on someone's vehicle that's in need isn't huge when you boil it down, but yet the payoff on the other side for the family, if it's a disabled vehicle, is life-changing.
Yep, I see what you're saying, and that it's a great point. You're obviously eating your labor, you're eating the margins on your parts, and you're really helping somebody out. Mike, how about you?
Well, I would agree 100% with Joe. It is first about people, but I also believe as a Christian that the Lord would sometimes put you in situations, either growing up or allow those things, and even the scriptures teach about that we are put through things in our lives many times for the purpose so that we might be an encouragement to others. So, you know, you can't miss the fact that it's some of that philanthropy comes as a result of our own personal experience, and then our desire to serve others is something that's input into our souls and causes us to respond accordingly.
It's amazing, that inner voice and what it can actually produce if you listen to it, huh? What type of programs are your favorites and most satisfying that you're doing?
Well, I don't know that I'm doing a particular program, because for me, it's always been just keeping my eyes wide open. It's a prayer request of mine on a regular basis that I would be alert and I would be aware of those that might be in need that the Lord might put through my path. And then if I have the ability to meet that need, then I want to respond accordingly. So I don't want to be ignorant of what's going on around me, so that I might could serve in some way. And I'd just say that probably one of the best examples that I recall myself, that I'd actually had forgotten totally about it, was years ago. I had gotten word that a young man had lost his leg in a car accident by a drunk driver, and they had a very difficult time getting him to the hospital in the car that they had as a family. Well, I had a minivan, and we were looking to replace the minivan. And so I just gave him the minivan, and so that they could, and he was able to get in and out of that van, you know, very easily. And it made a big difference in him. Well, fast forward years later, I'm at a crisis pregnancy center banquet, and this guy walks up to me, and, you know, he's only got one leg, it's a prosthetic leg. And, you know, I didn't even remember it was him, because I gave it to like his family, you know. And this, this guy just is, you know, expounding on how grateful and what a difference it made in his life. And I'm like, well, great. You know, I think forgetting about him is good. I think it's good that I don't remember all those that we might be involved in. I probably can only remember the most recent ones better than I can all the others.
Thanks, Mike. I want to rephrase that question just a bit. And I asked about your favorite programs, but I also wanted to say veterans, churches, charities, special circumstances, Toys for Tots. I almost want to bring it all in, because there's so many different things that could be done throughout the year. So Joe and Jeff, answer that. What's your favorite? What do you like to do the most?
I have a example of a situation. We support Mothers Against Drunk Driving, Toys for Tots, you know, a battered women's shelter also, and several things that we do. But one thing that really stands out for me was what we called a Mad Walk, and it was the Mothers Against Drunk Driving annual 5K walk run. And it was before the event, and there's a stage set up, and people were going up there, and of course, representing, you know, their family members that had been affected by a drunk driver situation. And I just remember specifically, you know, one husband and wife up there, and their child was killed in a car accident. Actually, it had been recent, like within the last 30 days kind of a thing. And they got up there, and it was just really, it hit home, because they basically said something to the effect of, you know, we didn't know much about MAD, but because of this event, we got thrown in. Now we're labeled a part of this group, this organization, and not by choice, but because of their life events. And for them, you know, probably 60 days prior, they knew of MAD, as an example. And then for them in that time of need, to be able to go to them, have the resources and the support of other people that had seen those same experiences. And really, I'm sitting there as a sponsor of the event, participating in the walk, and looking at them thinking the exact same thing. You know, this really could happen to anybody in this particular circumstance, where you could all of a sudden fall into a situation where it's out of your control. And to have people there to support that was just really powerful.
We currently are partnering with my church, Bend City Church here in West Bend, and we also partner with the Crisis Pregnancy Center, Seat of Hope. I like those partnerships because they do the qualifying of the individuals.
Exactly, yes.
They are with them. They're counseling them. They're you know, in their life. And when they say, and they call me up, Seed of Hope calls me up and says, Joe, we have a young lady that you know, needs her car looked at. All we're responsible for is just loving on them.
Exactly.
Bring the car down. You know, we'll put you in a loaner car and we'll do what we got to do. And we're going to take a look at it. We'll fix that concern and we'll take care of pretty much everything else that it needs and make sure that it's safe.
That's a great point.
I like the partnership. They send them.
They send them and you help them. And then, because the qualification, that was one of the things I guess I was going to ask you guys is how do you qualify? And you just hit it on the head. Hey, I want to say hello to our good friend of the podcast, Greg Buckley, who's just joined us. Props to you, Greg. Many of you have heard Greg on a whole bunch of podcasts before. And I was just getting antsy. I may want to call him and do another one. And don't forget, you can click on each other's high hands and give each other props. Now, here's another thought that I had is you involve your customers or suppliers in these programs. Do you go out and say to your customer base, listen, we're doing this. And, you know, maybe there's clothing or canned goods or something. Do you do anything on that order?
Yeah, I've involved our supplier, Napa Auto Parts, in some of the things. I mean, most of them, I would just say we just did. And like Joe, we would take and allow like Crisis Pregnancy Center to determine who in their organization actually needs the car. So that's certainly a better way to choose who is going to do that. And then we've invited Napa in to provide parts, and they've been willing to do that and several times for us. So we're very thankful for their participation in it when it's a large job that needs to be done.
Yeah, we've done the same thing. Like specifically with our church, we've done benevolence situation where we partner with the church, and it could be any local church really. We do a lot with our own, and we belong to a large church here in Minneapolis area. But if the church is willing to cover the parts, a lot of times we cover the labor, and it's a partnership. So you know, if they're not necessarily willing to do that, then you know, them asking us to do the labor, in my opinion, isn't necessarily, you know, unless we feel compelled to do an entire job. But it's a great way of looking at a partnership. And we've also done a lot of stuff in our several years with Free to Be, which is Cars for Neighbors, where a local Napa store sold their parts below our cost, and then they would donate the first $500 each month. So they played a significant role in our partnership here locally.
Yeah, I think anytime you can get your parts store, you know, or your parts supplier, you know, involved is a great situation. We've committed some of our budget to obviously helping Seed of Hope. And I've been able to, in opportunities, approach my suppliers and say, hey, we have this situation. We would really like to help this young lady. Is there anything that you guys, you know, can do with the cost of the parts? And, you know, anything helps. A lot of times they'll just say, well, you know what? Here you can have, here's, that's the list that you need. Well, here you can just have them. And the one thing that I want to point out too is, you know, when your parts stores do that, you know, make sure you acknowledge them. If you're you know, in the paper, or if you're doing anything, social media or whatever, make sure you give credit where credit is due, and shine the light on them as well. One of the things I like to do is kind of send out a little thank you note every time that we do it, because you know what? They make those dollars stretch that much farther.
Great, great point, Joe. Great point. So if you guys do vehicles, where do you get them? Do you fix the ones that you support? Obviously, you do repairs for really broken down vehicles, but which one of you have given a vehicle to someone? And is there a lot of what's the word I'm thinking of? Insurance liability behind giving someone a vehicle, or do you go through a mediary?
I've never given a vehicle.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, you have. We heard you, Mike, say that you've given a vehicle. Yeah. And you give it to the church first and then they give it away? How's that work?
No, what we've done before is we would give it to Crisis Pregnancy Center, and then they would give it to one of their graduates. And so, you know, they would work through their legal counsel and how that vehicle was actually given away. So that's, you know, that's where most of my vehicles have been given, is through Crisis Pregnancy Center.
Got it.
And as far as finding the vehicles, You know, in our industry, they just show up on your lot sometimes.
and pay them in due.
Yeah. And then sometimes you have a customer who says, you know, I don't want to fix that car. And then we would just say, hey, you know, one of the things we do is we'll fix up a car for a charitable donation and you can get the donation. And right. We're just involved in the repair process. And the customer gets some type of tax deductible donation as a result of their contribution.
Thanks.
To giving the car.
Thank you. Jeff, you give away a vehicle ever?
Yeah, we have given away a few vehicles, a lot of times through our church. But with Free to Be in that long relationship, we were a drop-off site. So yeah, okay. We'd get a lot of vehicles in that way. And they've actually just given away their 950-something vehicle. Wow. Just in our county, and that doesn't include probably 3,000 or 4,000 cars that were fixed for free. So they get a lot of donated vehicles in,
Okay, so they get the vehicles. Do they reach out to shops like you that are members of the organization to get the repairs, to make them roadworthy?
To find the vehicles?
No, they get them. And then they reach out to the members of their organization, shop owners, to make them roadworthy.
Yeah, they called those one-a-month repair shops. We were actually in our two locations. We hosted a car care Saturday, first and third Saturday of each month, and we had volunteers that came in and did repairs, and that happened, you know, every, you know, twice a month. And then there was one-a-month repair shops that would be willing to come in and do a single repair here and there, and then if that car was finished, they would maybe donate it at their shop, take some pictures.
Great things going on in Minneapolis.
The organization is pretty unique, and we've been pretty fortunate to be a part of it.
Are they nationwide?
It's a lot of spokes.
No.
But they have been approached. They created a operations manual, and they make that available at a very small cost for other people around the country that are interested in doing similar types of programs.
So I want to say hello to Marianne Croce, Gene Morrill. Oh my. And all these wonderful friends of the podcast, thanks for being here. And if you've got anything to ask this fine group of shop owners, please let us know. You know, I was thinking a lot about this, and I was thinking about we take for granted we have water, electricity, food. And then when you don't have wheels, it's almost as important because you almost, you know, can't get the food if you don't have the wheels. And I guess when you lose transportation, it's a pretty critical thing because I think we've all come to take it for granted. Do you feel like you're delivering a message of hope when you do all this stuff?
It's amazing to see a family turned around. You know, we've handed over a lot of keys at our shop. You know, just being the host shop, that's when they would give a lot of the cars away. And see the tears on people's face when they get their keys, where they were otherwise taking a bus back and forth, you think about doctor's appointments, after school activities for their kids. There's so many things, and it literally is a full day of, just to go to the doctor. It takes them an entire day.
Yeah, I think, the things that we've been involved in, you know, we've always gotten great feedback. You just see the people's expressions when you give them the car or hand back the vehicle that's fixed. And then I love it when they, you know, send a thank you note or an email or whatever. And, you know, the question of are we receiving hope or are we, you know, producing hope? I think, yes, we are. And, you know, one of the thank you letters that I received personally on a vehicle that we had fixed up. Now, I partnered with our church, but here was what he wrote. Just read two sentences. You know, we thank God for answered prayers and for using his people to be an extension of his hands of love and blessing. We're reminded once again that God is faithful. Your act of kindness has been an express confirmation of this very fact. I mean, how can you not see the hope in that? I mean, they just were waiting for something to happen. They needed a vehicle and they got one. And you know what? Anytime you can help somebody out, it's always a two-way street. I mean, I've received so much joy from seeing them, receive that vehicle and knowing that I had a little part to play in helping them get back on track.
Absolutely.
I can't help but think about the number of peers that you have that do this. Is it 100% of the peers like that would be in your 20 group, in your circle, your association network, or are there 20-30% of shop owners that reach out to this degree?
You know, I think there's a lot more. I mean, I think it happens all across the country. I know in the I'm a part of the Elite Pro Service, and there's like 95 shops in that organization. And you know, these guys, I mean, most of them that I talk to have done something along the lines of what we're talking about. And I think one of the biggest ones is actually Husqa Automotive that has done, I mean, and he's incredible. I mean, he puts us all to shame. Dennis Husqa, he's like the godfather of charitable involvement and donations. But it's still, I think it's huge. I think it's a lot bigger and a lot more because I think for most of us, as even Joe said, that the appreciation comes not from us marketing the fact that we do it. It's us being able to give hope to a family. I mean, that's where the joy is returned to our hearts. And, you know, we trust in what the Lord brings back to us in business because it's all His anyway. So, you know, it's not like we're going to go out and put it on a poster board that we do it. So, and I think that's true for a lot of shops and a lot of shop owners, a lot of business owners that are doing philanthropy work. We don't even know they're doing it, which is really a better way. Really, it is. It's a better way.
Jeff, have you taken your initiatives that you do in Minneapolis to your Florida branch?
We actually have started that. We did identify with a company called Wheels for Success, and it's very similar to what we do. And we fixed our first vehicle down there recently. Yeah.
Great. Greg Buckley asked a great question. I don't know. You guys can all see the comments.
Yeah.
Guys, how do you handle the ongoing maintenance for the cars you give away? And, you know, that makes a lot of sense, Greg. Here they get a car and they need a brake job and it's, you know, $700 later. How do you do that? What happens?
In our situation with cars for neighbors, they have an agreement. So the cars are looked over and the objective is to get at least 12 months out of that vehicle. So if there's anything they need, they don't give it away if there's something pending. Of course, you've always got stuff that can happen that can break down. And in this organization, in that organization, they actually are allowed another visit to come back and get additional follow-up repairs if that situation presents itself.
You're really making sure that within 12 months, there's really not much going to go wrong?
Correct. And in fact, even the vehicles that they give away, we help vet them as well, because you might not want to give away an all-wheel drive van or, of course, a pickup truck or a stick shift or something like that. So, you know, all the vehicles that get donated aren't necessarily worthy of getting repaired for one, but also they may not be ideal for a lot of people.
Yeah. Another option there that came to my mind as Jeff was talking is that some of those cars that are not worth fixing, well, you just crush those and then you give the organization the money.
Yeah,
that's a better foot forward.
Yes.
We have giving oil services and inspections for a year to keep the vehicle. But as Jeff said, typically what you do, because we understand the impact, that we're going to make sure that car is safe and in good mechanical condition prior to them getting it. And then usually within the next 12 months, if something does come up, then we do something. But, you know, I can't even really think of a time that we actually had to do anything. But, you know, it's there.
If you look at Greg's question, actually, he was asking about maintenance, which is a little bit different part of it. Mm-hmm. And in our organization that we've been a part of, the ideal candidate is somebody, they have to have a job and they have to be looking for a job. So, you know, that provides some resources for oil changes and that kind of stuff. But there really shouldn't be a lot of maintenance, you know, in 12 months, say. So. Yeah. They have to have some responsibility.
That's a great point. You just don't want to give away the vehicle, and then ultimately you can't put fuel in it. You can't.
Correct. Yeah. The ones that we give away, they actually get them with a full tank of gas, and there's somebody that actually pays for their first month of car insurance as well. So it's several other people that are involved with that process.
We've got a couple of great participants who it's their first time on Blab. We welcome them to the show. I love the idea, and you know, I hadn't thought of that as long as they're pre-qualified and you're good with that qualification, then you feel very comfortable in what you're going to do. So give me your most lasting memory of your charitable program. And Joe, you probably summed it up with that great line from a thank you note. But if you have something else, please share it with us. But your most lasting memory of something that you've done.
Yeah, I think this was when we first started doing some charity work, and this was at a time where we went out on our own. We didn't have somebody do any qualifications. We actually asked for recommendations or referrals. We took to the radio and received that. And so we had to qualify individuals. But, you know, sometimes the timing of everything works out just so well. We had a situation where we had a guy who had a house fire, and insurance didn't cover all the repairs that needed to be done on the house. He had an old truck that needed to be fixed up. His wife ended up jumping out of a second-story window to escape the fire and had a broken leg and collarbone. And this all happened, like, within 2 weeks of our choose date, if we were going to choose. And we heard about the story, and that's the one we got behind and fixed up the truck for him. And it was just great because the timeliness of it was just something great to be a part of. And what I remember the most is after giving him the truck and 3 years go by, his neighbor comes in, tracks us down in our new location and says, you know, are you Joe? And I said, yeah. And he said, you know, I just want to shake your hand for fixing my neighbor's truck. You know, he had the fire and it was, the guy literally was like practically crying, shaking my hand. And that, I'll never forget that.
Wow. Great story. Great story. How about you, Mike?
Well, you know, one that goes back a long way. I had probably only been open for maybe a year, year and a half. And there was a family in our church that had five young boys, and the only vehicle they had was an old camper. And so they were driving this old, you know, if you can imagine the Ford Econoline van that somebody made into a camper kind of thing. And that's what they were getting around in and getting to church in. And so I had this car, fixed up the car, gave it to the family. And then later, the oldest boy ended up coming to work for me as a janitor, and then later became an ASE Master Certified Technician. And so he worked for me for a number of years as an ASE Master Tech. And now he's working for the Honda dealership in the Little Rock area. Still a great guy. I love his family, with good relationships and all that. And he was the oldest of five boys.
Incredible story, okay. Huh?
Yeah, pretty cool.
Love that one.
One story that sticks out for me, and it was about this time of the year, a few years back, a single mom had I think she had two or three kids, and she was getting this minivan, and there's a local company that sent a lot of volunteers on the Car Care Saturdays to help out. And it was decided that we were going to donate this vehicle at the business out front and present it to this mom and her kids. And what they ended up doing, besides giving her a vehicle, is the employees at this company actually filled up the van with Christmas presents. So she got a van filled with Christmas presents, presented to her out in front, and I think they'd called the local cable TV over and made a big deal out of it, and that was really cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Those are just great, heartwarming stories, especially for this time of the year, but for everyone who's going to watch this episode over and over again to hear. Thank you guys for that. There's a question. I was advised against donating a car by my insurance agent due to a liability issue. Is that a legit concern, or is there a way around it? And that came from your car guy. Yeah, I guess what you're saying, and get me if I'm right or wrong, is that someone else is qualifying people, and the cars are going through a legit agency who's got all this legal stuff covered?
Yes. Yeah, that's how it works for us. Okay. They have the insurance and all that kind of stuff. Bill of sale, all that stuff is done. You wouldn't probably typically give a car to somebody directly.
You're not doing it. You're letting these philanthropic organizations handle it. And you may have the car, but do you give it to them then somehow? And then they make the award?
Well, yeah, of course, if you're dealing with the IRS, you can't get a tax receipt from somebody that's not a nonprofit. So, you know, if you're going to donate a vehicle, a lot of people are doing it, and they might as well take advantage of the tax benefit. So you would be giving it to a nonprofit who then can turn it around and give it to somebody else. So there'd be that between you.
Recently read that they're trying to tighten up that a little bit?
I'm not aware of that. No.
Yeah, I don't know. And for me, Carm, I've just – anytime a car's left our facility or we're given away, we've made sure that they had proof of insurance on the vehicle prior to taking ownership of it.
Okay.
And so, I mean, that really releases us of liability as far as I know. And in 18 years and however many cars I've given away, I've never had a single issue ever. And right. I wouldn't be concerned about it.
Okay. Are you using social media to spread the word of your charitable initiatives? Do you tell your people what you do?
we kind of cross promote not so much what we're doing, but the fact that we love and support this organization. So whether it's on social media, Facebook, whatnot, we kind of do it that way. This is just something that we support.
Okay.
We will say that we partner with the Seed of Hope Ministry, and we have posted some things, you know, in the past when we went out on our own and updated pictures and that kind of stuff. Our partnership with Seed of Hope, we haven't really gone into too many pictures and stuff like that. We just kind of fixed the car and try to come alongside those individuals. And I don't know, we mentioned that we partner with them and we say how we do it.
Yep. Okay, great. The last word. I'll start with you, Jeff.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, at the end of the month or the year, you know, you look back at your life, you look back at the resources that the other gentlemen have mentioned, and, you know, have been blessed. And really the things that stand out at the end of the day are when you help other people. You know, I don't look back and think, well, man, this past August, we really fixed a lot of cars, or we really nailed that hard problem, you know, whatever it is. The things that really are rewarding are when you help other people, no matter what it is, no matter what area it is. So, you know, this is something that I, you know, live by and try to do as much as you can possibly do. You know, everybody out there can't afford to fix their car. Nobody wants to spend money on fixing their car, but, you know, you can develop relationships with nonprofits, with your church, you know, homeless shelters, you know, there's all different kinds of things that you can do to partner with, and you can just do your part. And really, you know, it's what makes things really rewarding and really gives you back, you know, so much more than what you put in.
Thanks so much, Jeff. Mike?
I think that if anyone's watching this, or as people watch this and they might be considering what they should do, don't overlook anything that your employees might be involved in that you could kind of go through them to help in some charitable way, because I think that just brings more of a family connection within your organization when you do that. So I think you look for things like that. And outside of that, I'd just say walk with your eyes wide open. And be aware and don't overlook charity, even with your own employees, because they go through things in their life that we as owners can sometimes overlook. And so sometimes the charitable opportunity is right in bay one.
Yeah.
Great, great point, Mike. Thank you. Last word, Joe.
You know, why don't you, if you want to get into it, lead with your heart. Where's your heart at? Which charities, which ministries, which things can you get behind and just really run with it? You know, find something or find an organization that's doing some good and partner with them, and go. You know, that's the main thing. The main thing is a desire to want to do it. And, you know, at the end of the day, what really matters, like the other guys said, is people, relationships, and, you know, just helping.
Thank you guys so much for being here. You spoke from your heart. You're doing great things out there with your community. Your businesses have incredible cultures, and I think it shows not only internally but externally. Well, you guys have a great holiday, and I think you set up a great message for the entire industry to watch over and over again. And thanks again. Appreciate you being here.
Yep.
Merry Christmas. Yep. Happy New Year.
Yep. Merry Christmas.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.